Waiting is hard. I can't tell you how many times I have stood waiting for an elevator and found myself jabbing the down button repeatedly as if that will make the thing come faster. Or how many times waiting for a web page to load, I start banging my mouse on the desk as if that will hurry up my computer. Whoops. Oh, and another thing, you know those people who honk madly if the car in front of them doesn't get going the second the light changes? And I haven't even mentioned the pandemic. What are we not waiting for right now? We're waiting for the vaccine, waiting to be able to go outside without a mask, without fear. We're waiting to go to the theater or a concert to be able to worship together in church, waiting to be confirmed by our church, waiting for a job, waiting for justice, waiting for hope. Waiting is hard. And here we are, starting the third week of Advent, that official church season of waiting. Not great for those of us for whom being put on hold means a rise in blood pressure. But maybe exactly the season we need right now. This season of hopeful waiting. Of course, Advent is a season of both looking forward to the future and looking back to the past. And looking back is something most of us don't have a problem with. Looking back to the good old days, whether 50 years ago or 10 months ago. Looking back much further to that moment in human history when God entered into the life of God's creation through the birth of a little baby in a cattle shed. A little baby who turned out to be God's very own child, fulfilling the deepest longing of our forebears in faith. Looking back to that is wonderful. It fills us with joy. But Advent also looks to the future, to a second Advent, the second coming of our risen Lord and Savior, who the scriptures tell us will return to earth to claim his kingdom and inaugurate a new rule of justice and peace. Yes, Advent means coming, which means having to wait for Christ's coming again. And that means joyful anticipation, sure. But let's face it, it can mean exasperated impatience as well. You know, these days when I pray, come, Lord Jesus, I think I actually mean it. Of course, we are by no means the first Christians to wait impatiently for our Savior's return. Oh, how long, oh God, how long has been the eternal cry of believers in every time and place, including those early Christians to whom the second letter of Peter is addressed. After all, the first followers of Jesus, and it seems Jesus himself, confidently believed that the day was not far off when God would intervene once and for all in this struggling world, and the Son of Man would come in power to judge and redeem the earth. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen nearly 2,000 years ago, and it hasn't happened since. We are still waiting. In fact, we've waited so long that many have given up hope, given up trust, given up belief, even. So for those of us who, despite all odds, still cling to this crazy faith called Christianity, the cry of How long, oh God, how long may grow urgent in this Advent season of waiting and expectation, and especially urgent in this year of COVID-19. And today we hear Peter and in a way John address the theological dilemma of how we are to understand the long delay of the promised second coming of Christ and what we are to do in the meantime. The author of 2 Peter speaks to those who are losing heart. He warns against what he calls scoffers, who probably saw themselves as clear-sighted realists, who said, in effect, where is this advertised second coming, this so-called day of the Lord? It's just hype. The world goes on, same old, same old. Nothing has changed and nothing ever will. Get real. They may, I suppose, have been non-believers, ancient pundits who saw no evidence of God at work in the world and laughed at those who did. But I get the feeling that the most vociferous of those scoffers were disappointed believers whose impatience for the coming of Christ led them to despair and only then to mockery. Having seen the wars and famines and destruction and devastation that Jesus spoke of, having felt the despair those things brought, they were more than ready for the big bang that would usher in the Messiah's return. I picture them gathered on mountaintops or in bunkers, maybe, as they waited in joyous expectation for the rapture. And nothing happened. Fearful, no doubt with reason, worried and anxious about the state of the world and the church and their lives, they became victims of their own unholy impatience. They lost hope. Surprisingly, though, 2 Peter does not talk about the patience of believers, but about God's patience, which calls up an unexpected image, the image of a waiting God, of a God who is not eagerly looking forward to an end time filled with murder and mayhem, of a God who does not want any to perish, but is willing to wait so that all may come to repentance, all may be saved, all may find the beauty and grace of abundant life. Like an expecting mother, God bides her time with patience and hopeful anticipation. But if we are waiting, we do not wait alone. God waits with us. In the person of Christ, God meets us at table in the sacrament of bread and wine, the holy meal in which we glimpse the kingdom, if only for a moment. God meets us in baptism, when the Holy Spirit anoints us and we are marked as Christ's own forever. But we know that God can meet us in many other times and places, if only we will notice. As you heard in John's gospel, people ask the baptizer, "Who are you?" First, he replies by stating clearly who he's not. "I'm not the Messiah, the Christ. I'm not Elijah. I'm not a prophet like Moses." Then he states what he does. "I cry out in the wilderness. I baptize with water. I point to the one who is coming, who is greater than I." So I want to speak particularly now to our confirmands, Miranda and Danny. You are at a stage in your lives when you're still figuring out who you are and who you aren't. But today, after a lot of waiting, you are declaring part of your identity. You are saying in public, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I turn away from sin, from all those things that try to separate me from God. I am baptized. I am a church member. You also point the way to Christ. Danny and Miranda, your confirmation has come. And for you and for all of us, Christmas will come, pandemic or no. Christ will again be born into our hearts. The end of this pandemic will come sooner or later. And Christ will come again. That is what we believe. In the meantime, we hurry up and wait. We wait with eager anticipation and deep yearning, but with the equally deep courage to live fully into God's promise to wait fruitfully, not with unholy impatience, as if we could make God's kingdom come, and not simply biding our time, but seizing it, using it, making the most of this one wild and precious life that God has graciously given us. There is so much in this world that's out of our control. Sometimes we may find ourselves crying out, how long, oh God, how long? But I wonder if God's cry is not the same. How long, my children? How long? We may lose heart. We may lose patience. But God does not. God is waiting for each of us and for all of us. We are all God's beloved, made in God's holy image. And our beloved is waiting, patiently and eagerly, waiting for us to throw off the shackles of self-interest and fear and despair, waiting for us to hurry patiently, together, unfettered, unmasked, towards the patiently outstretched arms of our beloved. How long, oh, how long will we keep our beloved waiting? To God alone be the glory. Amen.